Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Adult Sunday School. Today's our for our picnic here. I figured I'm going to bring a message, maybe a little light, you know, a good picnic message. So what I thought of was, as I'd like to treat Adult Sunday School, I believe it should be a place where things are taught. Okay, that's the purpose of Adult Sunday School. That's why we call it school. And I've tried to do that in the past. So I figure today, I don't know how many, if you know how to study the Bible. So we're going to go over a little bit of one of the Bible apps that I use, some of the resources that I use when I'm studying, how I prepare a message, and we're going to study it together. So it's going to be just a little bit different. Hopefully that... You'll get something out of it. It'll help you in how to study the Word of God, because that's important that we study, right? It's one of our main verses that we like to talk about, study to show yourself approved. Well, reading and studying are two different things, so we're just going to look into a little bit of how we study. And one of the most important things, first and foremost, is that you always want to pray and ask for the Lord's help when we're studying His Word. So we'll start with that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day of Your grace, peace, and mercy. We thank You so much for Your Word that You've left us, and Your Holy Spirit that You've given us, so that we can dig into Your Word on our own and study it and use it to explain itself. We're thankful for all the men that You've used over all the centuries who labored to give us wonderful tools to use when studying Your Word, and we're thankful for them. We pray for our country, Lord, and we pray for all of its leaders, so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit would be the real teacher here, and that it would be done for the edification of Your body and for the glorification of Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid it all on Calvary's cross. Amen. So have you ever heard the saying, take a person fishing, right, and you'll feed them for a day. But if you teach them how to fish, right, he's fed for life. Okay? So I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I had a dear brother in Alaska. He taught me, took me how to halibut fishing, okay? But he taught me how to fish for halibut, right? He didn't just give me the, put everything on the reel and throw it out there, right? That's a charter boat. If you've ever been on a charter boat, right? You pay your money, you get on the boat. They do all the rigging, they put all the bait on, they do all the weights, and then they cast it out. And then when it gets a hit, they just give you the reel and you reel it in. That's really not, that's not really fishing, okay? So I see a big problem today is what I call charter churches, right? Because is your spiritual leader, is he teaching you how to read and study your Bible, okay? Or is he just putting a verse on a hook for that day that you're at church, right? Feed you for just that day, and then you got to come back to that charter church every week, right? Maybe sometimes every day you're going back to be fed, because they're not teaching you. The people sitting in the pews, they're not teaching you how to study your Bible. All they're doing is putting a verse on a hook. You're the fish.
They're just spoon feeding.
That's all you're doing.
Like a little baby.
So
like
you're
a little baby.
So you got to keep coming back to church, right? Because you're spiritually hungry. You're spiritually hungry, and it should not be like that. Okay, that's what Adult Sunday School is supposed to be for. And I see a great lack of that going on in today's churches. Not just the charter churches, but I'm talking about a lot of churches. We have farmed out what's supposed to be taught in the local assembly. We have farmed it out to institutions and to colleges and theological seminaries. Paul, in the Bible, as far as I know, Paul never told us to set up any kind of an external school to send people to. What he did set up is a local church. Okay? And he laid out some rules, and there's some blueprints to follow. Okay? He's taught in the school of Tyrannus, so he basically rented a building in the school of Tyrannus, and that's where he taught this book that we're looking at, the Word of God. That's what he taught. When we look at Priscilla and Aquila, right? Were they some theological geniuses that they went to school and got degrees and certificates? But yet they were able to take that guy Apollo and what? Pull him to the side and say, hey, listen, you should go over to this school for a little bit. Maybe they'll teach you something. That's not what happened. All they were doing was hanging around with the Apostle Paul. right? There are many more examples of that too. Paul never pointed people to a college, okay? He set up local assemblies. And that's the purpose of the local assembly. And that's being lost today, okay? And I want to try to change that. And we have been blessed in this congregation for over 40-something years where the men that have stood here in adult Sunday school have taught the Bible. We have a pastor that has taught the Bible, right? Verse by verse. He's not sending anyone anywhere. He's teaching us right here, and we can be very thankful and grateful for that. So what I want to do is I want to do a little word study, okay, on the word teach, okay? So from here on out, I want to show you, I use what's called the Blue Letter Bible, okay? That's the app, the Bible app that I use, and I'm going to explain to you, if you don't know what that is, how to use it. I want to explain how to use a Strong's Concordance, if you've ever heard of that. I want to explain to you how to use what's called the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, okay? All of those, the Strong's Concordance is about this thick. There's one out there that you could look at. The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is this thick, okay? Treasury of Scripture Knowledge was written in like the 1830s, and it has over 500,000 cross-references in it. It's all Scripture, okay? So it's a very helpful tool. I think it's one of those necessary tools if you want to study your Bible. Same thing with the Strong's Concordance. It lists every single Bible or every single word in the Bible, gives you the definition of the word, and it shows you where it's used in the Bible. These are very helpful tools because not too many of us can read the Bible through and then remember, oh yeah, Genesis 3:15, it uses this word. It's almost impossible, okay? So that's what I want to do. So now we're going to focus a little bit on the TV. That's what's going on. Because this is for the benefit of you here and then those at home, I want them to focus on the TV. I don't really care about me. I'm not here to promote myself, okay? So what I wanted to do was, I think Isaiah 28, 9, and 10 is a real good. This is my springboard, okay? Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Right? Doesn't the Apostle Paul say the same thing when he was talking to the Corinthians? He's like, I can't even talk to you as full-grown adults because you're still drinking that milk. You're still weaning, okay? For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how I believe we're supposed to be teaching and to teach, right? Just here a little, there a little. Start here, start building, right? That's the way our understanding works. That's the way kindergarten works. And that's the way the local assembly should work also, okay? We can't just dump giant doctrinal truths on people when their understanding is just a little. So we're gonna look at the word teach, and we're gonna go line upon line, precept upon precept, just here a little, there a little. Okay. Now, if you don't know what the Blue Letter Bible is, it's a Blue Letter Bible. You can pick it up on an app on any of your phones, and many people are using their phones today as their Bibles instead of your regular Bible. This is what I use to study along with my Bible, but. What you want to do is see up at the top left corner, there's that little search. So we're just going to hit the search. And we're going to put the word teach in. Now this starts giving me, we're in the New Testament. There's also a search range. So teach appears 108 times in your Bible. So I always like to, let's see the first couple times that it's used, okay? So Exodus 4:12. Can you see those? It's hard to. Exodus 4:12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now this is God talking to Moses, right? That's the first time that the word teach is used. Second time is Exodus 4:15. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. So that's Aaron, right? So who's the teacher here in these two verses, the first two times? God is the teacher, okay? So God is teaching Moses. Moses is teaching Aaron, okay? Now the next time that it's used is Exodus 18:20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work they must do. So now this is Exodus 18. We're getting near Mount Sinai, right? So God teaches Moses and then tells Moses, you teach Israel. Okay? It's pretty simple. There's a pattern here that's emerging, right? Just like the pattern that we looked at a couple weeks ago. So I want to take a little closer look at Exodus 18. So I just tap on Exodus 18. Now I want to read it in the full Bible view. Exodus 18. So let's back up a little bit. That's part of studying, right? We find our target word. Now we want to look a little closer at it, and we want to what? We want to look a little before, right? And set up the context of what's being said. Because we want to know what's being said, who's being talked to. All those things that Tyndale, I think, covered. Simple things, right? So let's take a closer look at Exodus 18. We'll just start in verse 1. So Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought them out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons. The name of the one is Gershon, and he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the other name was Eleazar, for God is my father, said he. Was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. So Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. So they're camping at Mount Sinai, okay? And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come to thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, did obeisance, and kissed him, and they asked each other their welfare. A family reunion, right? Hey, how's everything going? What's going on with you? He comes, oh, I've heard all the great things that God has done for you, bringing all these people out of Egypt. So Moses tells his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and unto the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. All the problems that they encountered coming out of Egypt, right? Getting stuck at the Red Sea And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, he was above all them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So Jethro, you say, became a believer in the God of Israel, right? Now I know without a doubt. And it came to pass on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that you do to the people? Why are you sitting all alone by yourself, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening? Moses, what are you doing? There's millions of people here that are waiting in line to see you and to ask you questions. Why? What's going on here? And Moses said to his father-in-law, Well, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. Right? I'm the spokesman. They come to me so I can tell them what the true and living God says. And when they have a matter, They come unto me, and I judge between one and the other. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Okay? I have taught these people. But there's always crowds and crowds of people there every day. Hundreds of thousands of them. And Moses' father-in-law said, well, the thing that you're doing, that's not good for you, man. You will surely wear away both you and this people that is with you. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. He says, Moses, this is not good for you to be all here by yourself. It's not good for you and it's not good for the people. Right? Have you ever waited in line for something like at the DMV? Then people don't get too happy towards, you know what I mean? You tend to get a little crap. Oh, he's cutting in line! Right? So he said, this thing is not good for you, and it's not good for the people either. So listen to my voice now. Now I'm going to give you some counsel. And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward. I agree with that. God gave you something to do, right? So you be that person. God teaches you, you teach the people. You be that person. That you may bring the causes unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with you. Now, if thou shalt do this thing, and I love this statement, and God command thee so, he understands God is listening to him, right? So he says, this is my counsel that I'm going to give you. And if God allows it, right, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And they judged the people at all seasons, and the hard causes they brought unto Moses, and every small matter they judged themselves. So it's not good for there only to be just one teacher, right? So we're seeing a pattern. Does any of that sound familiar for our dispensation? I think a lot of it does. So what can we see when he tells them about thou shalt provide out of the people? There's some requirements there, is there not? Able men, verse 21. Able men, such as fear God, meaning saved people, saved men. Men of truth, right? Men that have been tried and tested and you know are faithful. Those that hate covetousness, right? That's a big problem, right? It's a big problem for everybody, right? Covetousness. Is that why we're doing things? Because we covet things. Do we covet the pulpit? Right? There are many out there that covet the pulpit. Well, if I'm not going to teach it, I don't want to. That's coveting the pulpit. God doesn't want that either. He doesn't want men of covetousness being up here teaching. That's one of the requirements, okay? And place them over them, okay? Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. Now when I see that verse 21, right? Place them over men to be rulers, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. Now that triggers something, and that sounds familiar to me, okay? Do any of those terms or statements, do they sound familiar to you? If they do, now I'm just going to press on that verse, and now that's going to bring up another study tool that we have, right? We have the interlinear, Okay? That's going to be the word, what it is in the Greek, what the Strong, that's your Strong's Concordance. But then we have this thing, it says, cross-references TSK. Now that's the treasury of scripture knowledge. That's that big giant book I told you about. It was one of those helps that I think you need to have when you're studying the Word of God. So I'm going to hit the cross-reference, this TSK button. And now that's going to bring up all these other verses that it's going to connect to. Okay? Now we as students, we want to be careful and just look through these things. So you see, it brings you to, moreover, when it talks about the 50s, 100s, and 1000s, well, that brings up Deuteronomy chapter 1. Okay? So now we go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And let's take a look at that, because that's where that Exodus 18 verses is pointing us towards. So that brings up Deuteronomy 1. Let's start in verse 9. Deuteronomy 1, chapter 9. Which is a recap pointing back to Exodus. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9. This is Moses talking again to the nation of Israel. He says, "And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you alone." Okay? "The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. So how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? So take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do." Because we're tired of waiting in this line to see you, Moses. You know? Like when you're waiting and you say, "Can someone open another register, maybe?" "So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great, and you shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's." Don't be afraid of their countenance. Don't be afraid of men. When you're judging between a matter, you don't respect persons. You don't take bribes. You don't get scared that maybe this guy's going to do something to me. Well, he's talking to the nation of Israel thousands of years ago. It really hasn't changed today, right? It really hasn't changed. Because the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, if it becomes too hard and you can't figure it out, then you bring that matter to me and I will hear it. And I command you at that time all things that you should do. Now, we can see, those of us that know, that there's the same kind of pattern for today in the body of Christ. Some of these things sound familiar, okay? When we get to verse 12 here. Go back to verse 12, Deuteronomy 1:12. "So how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife?" Okay, that's another verse that sounds familiar to me. Okay? So now I want to go back, touch that verse. I want to go back to the treasury of scripture knowledge, because it's a good help. So the treasury of scripture knowledge points to Exodus 18. That's where we just came from Exodus to Deuteronomy. But it also points to Numbers chapter 11. So let's go check that out. So then we go to Numbers chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 10. This is when Israel was complaining about, "Oh, we're so tired of this manna. Give us some meat. We want some meat." So Numbers chapter 11 and verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly kindled, and Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, so this is Moses talking to the Lord, right? He's putting up with these people, right? Sometimes putting up with people is hard. It's not easy. And we don't have the near amount of people that we got to deal with as Moses did. Okay? Yeah. So Moses was also displeased, and Moses said unto the Lord, why hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in your sight? And you layest the burden of all these people upon me. Moses is like, what? I thought we were I thought we were tight. I thought we were all right. Why are you displeased with me? Is it something, you know, did I not do something that you asked me to do? Why have you laid this burden of all this people upon me? He says, have I conceived these people? I'm not the father of these people. Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which you swore unto their fathers? And whence should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is just too heavy for me. And if you're going to if this is the way that you're going to deal with me, kill me, I pray you, out of your hand, if I have found favor in your sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. You think you're the only one that gets depressed in the Bible? This is Moses being depressed. He wants to die. Right? He's just asking God to take me out of here. Take me out of here. It's too hard. This is too much. If this is, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Take me home, Lord. You know people have said that? I do. You know, you ever said that? I just want to go home. I just want to go home and be with my family. My home in heaven with my Savior. Because this is getting too hard for me. Right? So we're not the only ones that are going through things like that. Even Moses. God's right-hand man, I'd say, right? Even he went through it. Take me home. If I have found favor in your sight, then take me home. I don't even want to see my wretchedness. Why do you think he's saying, I don't want to see my wretchedness? You put me in charge of these people, and I've taught these people, and I've instilled your laws, your statutes, your judgments. I've dealt with these people. I've taught these people, and this is how they're acting, right? You think maybe some pastors might feel that same way? Right? I've been up here teaching these people, pouring my life into these people, and this is the way that they're acting. I think pastors feel that way too, just like Moses felt. That's why we pray for our pastors and our leaders, right? Yeah. So, the Lord said unto Moses, verse 16, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down, and I will talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear not it thyself alone. Now I think that 70 people, Moses chose that same group of men that his father-in-law and God allowed him to choose those verses that we just looked at. If this is not those men, I have pretty much no doubt in my mind that's the men that God that Moses chose when God told him, you gather the 70 men. He already knew these 70 men, because he had already made them heads and chiefs and teachers and rulers in Exodus 18. Okay? So, what do you think we've learned together so far about teaching? Number one, God taught Moses, right? Number two, Moses teaches Israel or others, okay? Number three, God gives Moses some helpers, right, to establish Israel, and there are requirements that need to be met in order to be one of those helpers, right? He even gives those helpers what? His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. That's the, can you think of, in your own mind, your own cross-reference mind, who else is a helper and a comforter? During Christ's earthly ministry, right? He tells them there's a comforter coming. The Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Think about Christ in His earthly ministry. Did He not do the same thing? I'm here to tell you what my Father has told me. And God gave His Son some helpers, right? They were called the apostles. And He taught them. Okay? And then He expected them to go out and teach others. So, even in this area of this dispensation of prophecy, when He was dealing with the nation of Israel, even during Christ's earthly ministry, right? It's that same pattern, right? And there were requirements to be a disciple, right? Same thing today, okay? There's a same pattern as today. God gave the Apostle Paul something. Paul taught others. God gave helpers, right? That's what we read about Ephesians. The prophet, you know, He gave some prophets, evangelists, teachers. Why? To establish what He's doing. In each time period that God's dealing with man, God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in that short period of in the book of Acts, and then the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, the King of everything, dealing with us today, the body of Christ. There's the same pattern that emerges for teaching. Okay? So the hearer then becomes the teacher, right? The hearer becomes the teacher. That's the pattern. God teaches one man, this man teaches another man. During here, these helpers that He gave were those helpers to help teach others, okay? And to pass that knowledge on. So let's go back to our word teach. So I'm going to go put in my word teach again. And then we can scroll. Now, we don't have to hit all 108 of them. So what we're doing is we're just trying to see that the hearer becomes the teacher. So we'll go down maybe Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. That means grandchildren. You teach them to your sons and your grandsons. 4:10, very next verse. Especially the day that the Lord stood before, or that day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. He's talking to the nation of Israel here. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may do what? Teach their children. Right? God the Father spoke to them. And they said what? Moses, we don't want to hear God lest we die. And so we agree, you're the guy. We don't want to hear His voice anymore. I think that would be a horrifying thing for anybody to all of a sudden hear the true and living God speaking. That would be horrifying. Deuteronomy 6:7. See, now we're just scrolling. We're looking at some of these, and we're just trying to hit a couple of them. Deuteronomy 6:1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land wherein you go to possess. Deuteronomy 11:19. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I don't see too much downtime here. Do you? when you're in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You're supposed to be talking to our children and grandchildren about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now we understand that here, what is being taught? What's he telling them to teach their children and grandchildren? What did he tell Israel to teach their children and grandchildren? The law. The law, the ordinance, the statutes. Now we understand that today, that's not what we're to be teaching. Okay? We're just scrolling through all the times that the word teach is used. So I wanted to... You got Psalms, right? The Psalms. The meek, will he guide in judgment? The meek, will he teach his way? Teach me thy way, Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go. Come, children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I love in the Psalms when David says, teach me thy way. What the Lord Jesus Christ said. I am the way. I am the way. So even David was like, I just want to know about your way. I want to know about you. Now, what else do we think? Where's some wisdom in the Bible? Where you think there's a book that's about wisdom? So let's see where teach is used in Proverbs. Oh, Proverbs 9:9. Right? Those are things that we know. Let's see where Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Right? That's the purpose of teaching. To help people increase in their knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. So then, we also got our verse that we started with, Isaiah 28:9, right? Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall make understand doctrine, but those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, right? We're just adding a little bit at a time here as we're studying and as we're going through. It's all we're doing. Now, what do you think would be the next step? The next line upon line? Where is the meat of God's word for us today? In Paul's epistles, right? That's the meat for us today, okay? So we took a big overview look at the word teach and what it means, and a pattern seems to emerge, right? But now we want to take that a step further, okay? Because we can search this. There's a search range available in this app. The first time we searched it, we searched the whole Bible. And we looked at some verses in the whole Bible. We learned a little bit about their context, what's being taught, who's being taught, what's the pattern. Now we can go there and hit search range. And it comes up the Pauline epistles. So now we're just going to search the Pauline epistles. Those are the epistles that are written directly to you and I today, members of the body of Christ. So we kind of want to know what the word teach means in those epistles, right? That's the next step in our study. This is how I study. This is the next step. And why it is important to do this next step, right? So before we go into the Pauline epistles for that, let's talk about why it's important to understand this stage of the study, this stage of us digging into the Word of God. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now we already went through verses 9 through 18. Let's hit 19 through 33. Deuteronomy 1, 19 through 33. Because this is a good portion to show why it's important to understand you need to take that next step in your studying into the meat of God's word for us today. So Deuteronomy 1:19, and when we departed from Horeb, when we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said unto you, you are come unto the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before you, go up and possess it, as the Lord, the God of thy fathers, has said unto you, don't fear and do not be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they're going to search out the land. And we all know this story. And they're going to go search out the land and bring us word again by which way we should go up and into what cities we're going to come into. Moses said, okay, the saying, it sounded like sound tactical wisdom, right? So I took 12 men, one from each of your tribes, and they went up into the mountain, and they came to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. They took the fruit of the land in their hands, they brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, oh, it's a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Of course, duh, right? Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us and hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. We go back and you look at all the wonderful things the Lord God did for the nation of Israel. What's going on here? Don't be afraid of them. Don't you remember everything that he did for you? And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bear you as a man does bear his son in all the way that you went until you came here? Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you which way you should go in a cloud by day. And you're worried about this? Now, here we go. Verse 34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swore to your fathers, except for Caleb. And he shall see it, I will give, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which stands before you, he's going to go in. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, remember you said they were going to be a prey, and your children, in which that day they had no knowledge between good and evil. They didn't know any better yet. They didn't have that spiritual understanding. They're going to go, and unto them will I give it, and they'll possess it. But as for you, turn around and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when you had girded up on every man his weapon of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, do not go up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up to the hill. And the Amorites which dwell in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hamorah. And you returned and you wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice nor give ear to you. Why were they destroyed? Right? God told them, go in and possess the land. They said, no, we're too scared. And God said, all right then. Turn around and go to the wilderness. And then they said, oh, no, no. Okay, we'll go. We'll do it. We'll do it. And he said, no, no, no. That's what God said yesterday. That's not what he's saying right now. He told you to turn around and go. You had your opportunity. That's rightly dividing God's word, right? Yesterday, God said, go up and possess the land. But today, he says, no, you turn around and go. That's why it's important to understand what portion of the scripture is for us today. That's all that right division is. Something complicated. It's just understanding what God says, when he says it, and to whom he's saying it to, okay? So I think that's a good illustration, because it not only covers where we were already at in the rulers and the leaders, right? But it also covers the importance of understanding where that next step of our study is going. And that's into the meat of God's word for us today, members of the body of Christ. Because there are many people out there that are feeding people things that are from the previous the previous plan and purpose. And they're being told things like this. You can go up and take that job because the Lord is with you. They're bringing up many things that are not for us today. Okay? And what happens when you follow those instructions from a previous pattern and a previous administration? Same thing that happened to them. It's going to lead to nothing but misery and hopelessness and defeat, right? Because you think you're going to ask the same questions that Moses asked. I prayed all these things. If this is how you're going to deal with me, Lord, how come my checkbook's not raining money? You know? I put the napkin under my bed. I still haven't been healed of my diabetes. Or there are many, many other things out there that are people being dissuaded from, right? Because nobody's teaching them how to study the Bible on their own. So now let's go to search our epistles. So I'm just going to go put our word teach in again. In the search bar, hit the Pauline epistles. And it occurs 12 times here. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, in 1 Corinthians 4:17, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every college. Oh, I'm sorry, every church. 1 Corinthians 14:19. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. 1 Timothy 1:3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, this is Paul talking to Timothy, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We've gone over that before. That doesn't mean we go into these other places and charge them. We make sure anyone standing up here, we charge them. You don't teach nothing else when you're standing up in this pulpit. Not in this church. 1 Timothy 2:12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That's not saying that women are to be quiet in church. That's a misread term. I think what that really means is that a woman has no business standing up and challenging the authority of the pastor. Okay? I think that's what that means, because women are to teach, right? They're to teach your children. That's right. That's right. Yep. 1 Timothy 3:2. We're talking about leaders, right? Bishops, pastors, teachers, right? Remember there were requirements attached to that old pattern? Same thing with ours, right? 1 Timothy 3:2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Doesn't say gifted to teach. It says apt to teach. Some people have a natural aptitude to teach, just like some people have a natural aptitude to grow things in their gardens, or some people have a natural aptitude of working on cars, stuff like that. Okay? Doesn't say gifted. Okay? Doesn't say gifted. It says apt to teach. And if you're not apt to teach, that's why you come to school. So you can become apt to teach. Right? You can learn how to teach. You can learn how to teach. God has given you everything you need to be able to teach. And God has called all men to teach. All men. If you're a man, you've been given by God the command that he wants you to be a teacher. Whether it's your wife, your friends, your family, your children, your grandchildren, you have been commanded by God that he wants you to be a teacher and a leader. That's given to every single man on this planet that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4:11, these things command and teach. Right? 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and according to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, is what? He is proud. He doesn't know anything. He's dotting about questions and arguing over words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, right? Covetousness, gain. From such withdraw yourself, right? 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's the pattern. It's the same pattern from the Old Testament, right? God taught Moses. Moses taught Israel. And then Israel was supposed to teach their children and their grandchildren. The Lord Jesus Christ, same thing, same pattern, right? God, he said, I'm here to tell every word coming out of my mouth is the word that I heard from my Father. He gave them helpers, right, to get it going. And then he told them, now you go out and teach all nations. Except what were they to teach? Teaching all nations to what? Believe and be baptized. But that's not what we're, right? That's why it's important to take that next step in your study. Where's the meat for our word? Because our apostle says, Christ sent me not to baptize, right? But to preach the gospel. And what's that? That Christ died for your sins. He was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And if you place your faith, your personal faith, in that finished work, God will save you. He will give you his Holy Spirit. He will give you the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he will give you all the tools you need to become apt to teach and become able to teach. You're able, right? Back in the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to take my Spirit and put it upon them men to help you. God told, he doesn't put his Holy Spirit upon us. He dwells in us. He seals us, right? So the same thing that they have is the same thing that every saved person has. And he wants us to teach it. Now, for your own furtherance of your own studies, think about some synonyms for teach when you're searching, right? What are some synonyms? Teach, teachers, right? Instruct, instructors, instruction. Put all those words down and then do another word search and search some synonyms out. And you'll spend good quality redeemed time learning and growing and being able to understand it and present it to someone else to teach them how they can do it. I think that's about it. Any questions, comments? We'll close in prayer.